Turn with me this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 4. Let me start with verse 1. Let's hear the word of God. What then shall we say that Abraham our father is found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Now, Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing this day. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scripture to us. I pray that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive that. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As Dad has reminded us earlier, we set aside this day and refer to it as Reformation Sunday. It was 504 years ago this day, this very day, that Martin Luther walked to the door of the church and posted his arguments and opened up the avenue for discussion to begin. At least that's what he had in mind when he went to that door. Reformation would begin, but the embers of Reformation had already been burning for a while. It was only in 1517 when the flame erupted. There were brothers, as we see, just representative a few on our bulletin this morning. John Huss, John Wycliffe, men who were hated and despised by the establishment for their merely bringing the gospel. Wycliffe wanting to put the scriptures in the language that people could understand and read and not merely be left with looking at Latin that they hadn't been educated in. These brothers contended with the tyranny of the so-called church in Rome. Their foundation, the impetus that made them move, was nothing more than the Word of God and strengthened by His Spirit to go about the work. It was their determination that God's Word mattered far more than some announcement from the Vatican, far more than some just simple tradition that they had kept. As we talked a little bit last week, Rome had propagated the notion that, you know, there were plenty of saints that could be used as intermediaries to go to God. And it was established at the time, not at that particular time, but reminded at the time, I guess is a better word, that there was only one mediator between God and man, and that was the Lord Jesus. That seeking the aid of a saint was neither acceptable nor possible. Our salvation does not come to us because of some good payment that we make. Not something that we acquire by doing good works. Our salvation comes to us by God's grace alone. Springing out of the Reformation time came down to the five solas. They're simple little reference points for people to look back to. They said, first and foremost was sola scriptura, the word of God alone. And the meaning is that God's word alone has everything we need to know as it pertains to our salvation. We need to learn nothing more than what God's word has to say to us. Solus Christus, that it's in Christ alone where our faith is founded. It's in Christ alone that we depend for our salvation. Sola gratia, it's by grace alone that we receive the blessing of salvation. Sola fide, by faith alone in the finished work of Christ that binds our salvation. And sola Deo gloria, all of these are for the glory of God alone. Not for the glory of some guy sitting on a throne in Rome. So all of these came out. And they were not yet formalized as a motto, if you would, from the Reformation period. But Martin Luther, sat and studied the scriptures. Luther was an Augustinian monk. He was a devout Roman Catholic. And yet, through his study, and through the intervention of the Holy Spirit in his life, he saw the error in Rome. And one day, simply reading the scriptures, he saw that we are justified by faith. And he determined that this doctrine, sola fide, the doctrine of justification by faith alone, in Christ alone, is the article upon which the church stands or falls. We are justified by faith. We may ask ourselves, why do we need to be justified? Do a man on the street interview with folks? Ask them casually, what do you think of yourself? And by and large, people will say, well, you know, I have got my faults, but all in all, I'm a pretty good person. You know, I don't kill anybody. I don't steal from anybody and unnecessarily, kind of a thing. You'll always find an exception somewhere where you'll have the guy who's just totally down on himself. But by and large, it's the general thought of mankind that we're born good and we're generally good people. Outside of the church, we'll never have someone declare themselves to be a sinner unless they're doing it out of pride. The proud sinner will often brag about his sin. But the fact of the matter is he's inherited a nature that's 180 degrees apart from the holiness of God. People will say, okay, you know, really, I'm a pretty good guy. So you ask them about the surety of a judgment at the end of their life. You know, the Bible says you're going to be judged. Hebrews 9:27 tells us that it's appointed to each of us the opportunity to die. And following our death, we will be judged. An average Joe will tell you, I'm going to do okay. Unless he denies that fact at all. You know, there's a few out there that actually, I guess few is facetious, but we'll tell you, once you're dead, you're dead. That's it. It's over. There ain't no more. They stick you in the ground, do whatever it is they do with you, and forget about you, and that's how life goes. Those who understand that there may be something more than this life, and when confronted with a judgment that's coming afterwards, you're going, I'm gonna do all right. I'm sure the good that I've done is going to outweigh the bad that I've done. I've messed up a few times, but I'll be okay. God has to take that into consideration. And whether you believe in the judgment of God or not, it doesn't affect the reality that you're going to be judged. We will stand naked. There will be nothing hidden before the one who knows us completely. There will be nothing that escapes the gaze of Almighty God. And if we dare think that we can approach that day in our own righteousness, if we dare think that the day will come and we'll stand before Almighty God and it'll be okay, we are truly without hope. Jesus said that if that's the position that you take, he says in John 3:18, that you are condemned already. There's no escape for you in that. If we take the time to meditate on this, if we take the time to actually think it through, we're going to have if when the day comes, when we stand at the divine judicial bar, we're going to need help. We're not going to go there and boldly stand and be just, oh, okay, it's all right. That's not the way it's going to work. We must be justified. And what does that mean? What does justification mean? In the legal system that we have in our society, an individual can be acquitted of a crime. A defense attorney may present a compelling argument, and a jury can come back with a verdict of not guilty. But a not guilty verdict is not the same as an innocent verdict. Or for our purposes, that verdict may not be the same as being biblically righteous. See, you can be found not guilty, and that can only mean that there was not enough evidence to prove guilt. But if you're innocent, you're innocent. To be innocent means to be free of moral wrong. To be innocent means to be without sin. We can't make that declaration for ourselves. We can't do that. In the court of heaven, to be declared, to be justified, it means to be declared righteous, but it means not for anything that we've done. That, you need to think about that. To be declared righteous, but not for anything that you've done. At the same time, knowing that you're born guilty. Westminster Confession, number 33, reminds us that justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in his sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. The righteousness of Jesus is put to our account. We stand before the court of Almighty God in the righteousness of Christ. The gaze of God is upon his Son, who is standing there in our stead. Thank God for that. Because if he sees us and not Christ, there's trouble ahead. There is no possibility of a happy outcome at God's judgment seat apart from faith in Christ's work alone. What else is justification if not something special? It's an act of God's grace. The justification that God provides to his people is an expression of a deep love. These are things that we take for granted. Frankly, the average Christian thinks little of these things. They don't think about the need for God in their lives, really. The average Christian, as long as he occasionally shows up in a church service, is fine. But the Lord loves his people so much. His people. He's made these ways. Justification is the act of God's grace. And justification for a child of God is an instantaneous work. It's not progressive like sanctification is. Justification, yeah, you may never have even heard the gospel before today. And it's the first time you've heard it, and you are a child of God by his providence. You're saved. You're not working up to it. We have a problem in the evangelical church. And it's been there for years and years and years and years and years and years. We have... I guess it's human nature. Because we can become the most critical people. We can become the most legalistic of people. And we can say, oh, you know what? You say you're a Christian, but look how you're dressed. Christian people wouldn't dress that way. You say you're a Christian, but listen to some of the language that you use. Christian people wouldn't talk that way. Martin Luther, there is no argument that Luther was a godly man. But Luther also had the reputation of a mouth that could be a little coarse from time to time. He would get his point across in some way. We might be a people who say that we love God and we may genuinely do love God. And somebody will say concerning a situation that is questionable or even false, they'll say, "Oh, that's a load of crap." And all of a sudden you'll say, "Oh, you can't say that." Said, "Did you hear what that man said in a pulpit? He said, load of crap." You know how many times the scripture refers to things as dung? Do we get bent out of shape when scripture talks that way? No, I don't think so. It's God's word. Yeah, we do. We forget the justification in God. We forget the justification in Christ alone. We look for ways to justify on our own. Now, part of the sanctification process is clearing some of those things up. As we grow up in Christ, some of the things that we might do today will be done differently tomorrow. But all things are done sola deo gloria, for the glory of God. That's why we do that. You say, "I'm justified by faith alone in Christ alone." What am I justified from? Your sins. What sins? What sins are you justified from? One of the early deans of Princeton University, Charles Hodge, he said, "The sins which are pardoned in justification include all sins, past, present, and future. The righteousness of Christ is a perpetual." A child of God is justified by Christ alone. And a child of God who is justified cannot be unjustified. We gotta grasp that truth. Because in our human natures, we'll think about our shortcomings. "Oh, I fell here, I fell there, I did this, I did that." We forget that we are justified in Christ. We forget that the sins that we are justified from weren't even committed when Christ atoned for them. You are not going to work your way into heaven. Justification is by faith alone. We are not justified by faith plus works. Though Christians will do works, James does a great bit of work on that matter in his book, in his letter, that if we are in Christ, we will do good works. We will be known by our good works. But it's not our good works that get us into heaven. The only ground The only place where there is any legal standing is in Christ alone. It's Christ's righteousness that justifies us. It's Christ that saves us. And it's only by faith that his righteousness becomes ours. Good news is, it's not faith that we work up. It's faith that he gives us. You see, God doesn't leave us out there to make it on our own in any way. God chose you as a child of his from eternity past. And he said, you know what? There's going to be times in that person's life, in that person's life, in my life, where they screw up. He has that covered in the work of Christ. It's so important that we get this. Faith is a conscious acknowledgement of our own unrighteousness and ungodliness. And on that basis, a looking to Christ as our righteousness. It's a quote from J.I. Packer. When we come to faith in Christ, when we come to the understanding that we are justified by him alone, we've reached a place of rest. Luther, while he was coming to the understanding of this truth, of this doctrine, was still beleaguered with the Roman Catholic upbringing that he'd had. And he was still sure that there were other things that needed to be done because Rome had taught him that. You want to make it to heaven? Make sure you see all these different icons. You want to make it to heaven? You know, make sure you say so many redundant prayers. You want to make it to heaven? You want to help somebody else out? Put a coin in Tetzel's box. Because whenever a coin in Tetzel's coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs. It was all about the money, honey. Faith alone in Christ alone is where our justification is found. When we come to that, we not only rest, but we come to a better understanding that in truth, God loves you. And God loves me. And in Christ alone, he, God, allows me to declare myself righteous. But only because of Christ. God does that for us. Do we need to stand in terror at his judgment seat? Not in Christ. If you're coming to God in any place except in Christ alone, then you have need for terror. But his goodness to his people, the giving of Christ to his church, makes it so that we can stand there safely, securely, without fear. Do we still have reverence? Absolutely. Do we still maintain short accounts with God? Of course we do. We do that because we love him. When we offend, we don't want offenses to continue. We want to clear them up. But our faith is in Christ. Our justification is in Christ. we used to, I gotta quit. We used to hear about, you know, see, early on, and this may be a little redundant, so if it is, forgive me. But, you know, my parents did not come from Christian backgrounds. My mom had some church. Dad didn't. And early on, what we learned was what they learned and believed to be true. And so there was a natural legalism that came in, a natural criticalness of things, so that anything different automatically was worldly and would condemn you to hell. Church said if you were in a movie theater and Christ came back, it was too bad for you. I remember we had a vacation Bible school one year at Christ Memorial and had like a little skit program thing, whatever, at the end of the week. And I was dressed up like a shepherd, and somebody had made a pair of cardboard sandals. They took the sandals and took string and made the latches, you know, that keeps them on. And I remember putting them on, and I said, man, these things bug me. Well, my mom gave me into business. I said, bug. That was a worldly word. Couldn't use that. As fashions changed, you know, bell-bottom pants came out, and I don't know why, but they did. And at the time, they were really cool. Well, we weren't allowed to wear those because those were worldly clothes until it got to the point where that was the only thing you could get. And then we never really wore bell bottoms. We had flared pants, but not bell bottoms. But we look at the externals. Yeah. Somebody said, I'm going to go get a tattoo. Oh, you can't go get a tattoo because, oh, God will kill you for that. We focus way too much on the externals. We try to justify ourselves by looking at the outside. I'm going to go have a mother tattooed on my chest. No, I'm not. I don't like needles that much. But if you want to, feel free. That kind of a thing. Our justification is by faith in Christ alone, not on external things. Packer also made this note. Justification by faith alone is a gospel mystery. It's a revealed secret of God, which is of grace, transcending human wisdom, and indeed contradicting it. Justification goes against our grain. Actual justification goes against our grain by faith alone in Christ alone. This is why it's such a beautiful thing. This is why it's such a representation of God's love for us. Because He gives it to us. We can't earn it. We can't do enough good works to make ourselves good with God. And frankly, that's good news. Because it's all in His hands. And when we come to that realization, then we can rest. We should never quite got there. not the reformers themselves, some who were opposing them. But they're not you. Let God help you understand that today. Let's pray.